24. I understand that as a matter of interplanetary peace, we can never return to Nest, especially now that we've taken so many refugees with us.
Then what is this conversation about?
We're not diplomats. We're not a government. We're not even a military force. We're scientists. And we haven't finished our work. We have no definitive answers about the Descolada virus.
Do you still believe such answers are to be found on Nest?
When they thought of us as enemies, they attacked us. A biological attack. Why should we be sure that they didn't alter the recorder virus to function as the Descolada?
And then they launched it into space with no concern about where this terrible weapon would land? Their attack on us was directed against a particular threat that landed on their world uninvited. They did invite us to dinner.
Finding the Descolada, its source, the likelihood of running into it again on other worlds. How can we abandon that work and leave the whole human species, all the sentient species, exposed to this terrible bioweapon?
Don't beg the question, Quara. The whole issue is whether it was made as a bioweapon, so don't talk as if that had already been decided.
We have a responsibility.
Stop. All these points have been made now. It's time to think.
Your specialty, yes?
Don't be mean to a child, Quara.
What if we already have all the data we need? What if we simply haven't analyzed it right? What if we need to conduct experiments to test hypotheses?
What experiments can we possibly conduct? Spread a very fine net across 100 light years of space and see how many Descolada viruses we catch?
I can think of a few useful things to try. So can you if you open your mind to possibilities you haven't already thought of, or to some you already rejected. Excerpt from transcript. Ayla, Quara, Jane, Thulium, Sprout, as quoted in Pleaked, Leguminidae.
Some of the experiments could only be performed in computer simulations. The Descolada virus was too virulent and too intelligent, if that was the right term, for experiments with the actual virus to be safe. But the simulations were solid. They'd proved accurate many times before, so Sprout took over running the many iterations of the sim to determine what the result would be if only one of the two key genes on the recorder virus was broken. They were able to confirm that each break would always result in some Descolada-like behaviors. Only when both were broken did recorder become Descolada. Then they ran simulated cosmic radiation damage to see what the probability was of striking those particular genes during passage through space. Then the resulting deformed molecules had to be simmed to see how the Descolada would perform with those breaks. The result was that no other mutation they found, no other broken genes, resulted in a viable infectious agent like the Descolada. Any other changes either did nothing or killed the virus. I think that proves it was made to be a weapon, deliberately, said Quara, when Sprout presented his results. It proves nothing, said Thulium. We're scientists, remember? We're not trying to prove anything. We're just trying to disprove our own hypotheses. And then if we fail, we regard it as temporary possible confirmation of our guesses. What's your alternate hypothesis then, Thulium? Said Quara. Why were these two genes broken and no others? I have an idea, said Blue. Thulium looked impatient. Sprout intervened. Blue knows way more about the Descolada than we knew 6 months ago. Tell us your idea, Blue, said Ayla. It's not a simulation, said Blue. We don't understand either the Descolada or the recorder virus well enough to build a decent sim. But we have vacuum chambers, don't we? Everyone knew the answer was yes. The Descolada responds to its environment, said Blue. It knows when it's inside a host's body, when it's in sunlight, when it's in water or atmosphere.
It seemed to on Lusitania,
said Fingers, who had been helping Sprout run the simulations. And since he carried a version of the Descolada in his body, because Pecanino reproduction and transformation still depended on it, he had a special claim on their attention. "What we've only guessed at," said Blue, "is whether the Descolada or the recorder can survive in cold, hard space." "But the viruses in the vacuum chamber?" said Quora. "That won't show anything." "Said the omniscient Quora," said Miro. "Shut up," said Quora, but she made no more protest. "Don't use the Descolada or any version of it," said Blue. "Use the recorder and see what happens to it." "We can't possibly see the molecule inside the chamber, and the moment we take it out to examine it, it won't be in vacuum anymore," said Thulium. "Such a Schrodinger moment," said Miro. "Not the big vacuum chamber," said Blue. "The little one, with the clear window into it." "Shrink it down more inside," said Sprout. "Make it so the recorder virus has to be right up near the window."
"Might work," said Ayla. "Worth trying."
Because it was Blue's idea, he supervised the crew working on building the tiny vacuum chamber and inserting a version of recorder. The back wall was a color-killing black, while a series of variable-colored lights could play through the field from different angles. The microscopes were snapping high-speed pictures and taking vids at every useful depth of field. Finally, Blue said, "That should be enough as test of concept." Sprout was proud of his little brother, but also afraid what it might do to him if his experiment turned out to show nothing. It took a while to find which stills showed the clearest pictures. The equipment couldn't show individual atoms, but it gave a fuzzy picture of the shape of the whole molecule. At first, they looked at the most recognizable stills, recorder exactly as it existed on Nest. But Thulium quickly scanned through the stills with that sort of image and snorted.
"All of the stills we've chosen are from the first second after insertion. We're seeing only what we put into the vacuum, not how it responded."
Now they looked at the later pictures. The images seemed to resist clear resolution.
"It looks like the viruses have shrunk down to a tiny fraction of their regular size," said Quora.
"But thicker," said Blue. "And all of the images from later in the process show the same thing. Shrunken or cut down viruses," said Miro.
"Or reconfigured ones," said Thulium. "Time for the vids, even though the resolution won't be as good."
It took many viewings of the first 5 seconds after insertion before they began to understand what they were seeing. It was Ayla who finally put it into words.
"In a vacuum, the recorder folds itself repeatedly, like a fan, like pleats."
"More like a string being folded back and forth upon itself," said Blue.
"What we need to do now is determine what that means to exposure to cosmic radiation," said Thulium. "Here's my guess, based entirely on Blue's insight. The way the recorder virus folds, only the outside of each bend is exposed to radiation, and therefore mutations would be most likely to occur at those fold points."
They had to run the experiment several times, and at one point, Peter and Wang Mu went to another world to buy a higher resolution microscope. Finally, though, they had clear enough images to see that Thulium was exactly right. Instead of the breakpoints in the Descolada being 2 among billions of genes, they were 2 among 88 genes exposed and weakened at the fold points.
"Any genes broken by radiation during transit through hard space," said Quora, "would kill the virus, except those 2. But the chance of those 2 occurring randomly, given the configuration of the folded virus, is not unlikely. Those are the only mutations that would result in a living but changed virus. Now I can believe the Descolada was not deliberately weaponized."
"I think there's some kind of encapsulation going on after it's folded," said Blue. Can we run some different colors? By the end of the next day, they understood that once the recorder virus hit near vacuum, it folded up and then built a micro-thin film around itself to protect it and, perhaps, contain it so it wouldn't spontaneously unfold. "It's an amazing design," said Sprout. "No spaceship needed. Just go out into space, eject a few million recorder viruses in the general direction you want, and they'll build their own tiny life support and isolation chambers." "Why didn't we see it before?" asked Carlotta. "We're supposed to have decoded most of the genome." "It's probably controlled by the sequences we couldn't decode," said Ender. "It happens."
"We should have seen it," insisted Carlotta.
"It's not a failure of leguminids or of Hiberus," said Jane. "It's just the simple fact that until you think of a thing, you haven't thought of it yet." They all sat or stood around, maybe thinking of how profound yet obvious Jane's aphorism was. But Sprout was thinking, "Good work, Delft Delphiki. You've earned your place among the scientists for sure."
"Good work," said Ayla. "Everybody get something to eat and a good night's sleep. No celebration, just sleep, because we've got some decisions to make tomorrow."
The decision was the obvious one. Had they solved the whole Descalata question? Thulium was the one who said, "Science isn't done until it's published." And everyone agreed that they needed to send several short reports and a long, detailed paper demonstrating the differences between Recorder and Descalata, how the Descalata on Lusitania was neutralized, and describing the behavior of Recorder in a vacuum. They put in the names of the entire research team, including those of the Pecaninos who had worked with them. The Formics who had been part of the project had no names, and since they could not reveal the existence of Formics anyway, no harm done. Ayla's name came first, as head of the team, but everyone was aware of which bits of research each person had done. "Dead ends are part of the achievement," said Ayla, "because until we exhaust many possibilities, we can't have any confidence in our results." When it was all written up and ready to transmit by Ansible to the 100 worlds, Jane made them wait. "This will have little impact unless it comes with a story." So they waited for Pleakt and Valentine to draw up some fairly brief monographs that included accounts of the work of the Hibera family and the Leguminids. Jane was never mentioned, nor was Detouring, and no account mentioned Nest in any way. The 100 worlds had heard plenty about the terrible danger of the Descalata, so they would have a context for the stories that were sent along with the scientific papers. On the day when Jane said, "All done. All sent. Getting acknowledgement of receipt from some. Many." Ayla made a simple proposal. "There are a whole lot of superb geneticists on Lusitania right now, and there's still plenty of follow-up work to do. Nevertheless, I declare the Descalata project to be at an end. We never found the point of origin, but it doesn't matter. We now understand the benign intent of the makers, and we have disseminated a course of action for any world that runs across a mutated recorder virus. So the project is complete, and you're all fired." They laughed and applauded, and a few of them wept. Then, over the next few days, they started forming up in small teams to research this and that. About half the former team members asked to be transported to one or another of the new colony worlds, to study the native flora and, if there was any, fauna. The rest were happy to stay on Lusitania, which now had most of the best equipment available in the 100 worlds. Only 4 considered, and then decided to leave Lusitania and go to one of the older worlds with great and famous universities. They worried that they had no credentials, but Jane only laughed. "I'll send you copies of the reviews of older papers that have had your names inserted as co-author. You have all the credentials you'll need, as long as you want to study xenology or genetics." The Leguminid cousins had their own meeting, and grudgingly permitted their parents and Miro to attend, insofar as parents were available. Thulium was fine being an orphan, and she accepted Carlotta and Yuto as foster parents.
"We're children," said Little Mum. "That's how we look, and despite our manifest brilliance, that's what we are."
"Speak for yourself," said Thulium. "I can't imagine a stupider waste of time than going to some civilized world," said Boss, "picking an elementary school and trying to tolerate the company of children who don't know anything about calculus or the Peloponnesian War."
"That's not even on the table," said Carlotta. "There's no place for us in the regular academic system of any nation on any world. But I also don't want us to be confined in a tube hurtling through space with no outside human contact at all."
"Father already has the Herodotus," said Thulium, "and it would be a waste of money to buy another near-light-speed ship."
"Not that there's any chance of any of you running out of money in our lifetime," said Yuto.
"You've seen our financials?" asked Little Mum.
"I've seen that the list of the leguminid holdings would take me a year just to read," said Yuto.
"Where shall we go?" asked Boss. "I want to go everywhere and see everything."
"A lovely thought, impossible to achieve," said Ender's wife, Mayumi. "I can assure you, once you've seen your first dozen flocks of sheep on grassy slopes and meadows, you've seen them all."
"I intend to do some traveling," said Thulium. "Sometimes with company, if you want, and sometimes alone. I'm going to visit my mother and grandmother at least once a year, and probably more often. I'm going to visit the Ravens and Kias, on the colony worlds. I'm not violating the rules and returning to nest. But in between trips, this is where I want to be. As long as Miro and Jane are here."
"We plan to be," said Miro.
"And Wang Mu and Peter, too," said Thulium.
"At least till the baby is born, they've assured me," said Miro.
"And I want to come back home to the place where I know I'll see the cousins. You've been my whole life, till the last 6 months. I don't want to lose you. Not now, not ever."
Boss laughed.
"Come on now, Thulium. What if we're trying to get away from you?" "Then tell me what I'm doing to annoy you and I'll stop," said Thulium.
"Just a joke," said Boss. "You're fine, and I want a place to come home to as well. Can we still use this building? Will there still be support staff?"
Miro shrugged. "The project won't be picking up the bill anymore. But if you'll authorize Yuto to pay out the expenses, this can become the property of the leguminids. It's not as if real estate on Lusitania is going at a premium."
"And will we someday meet the actual people of Lusitania?" asked Sprout. "The regular citizens?"
"We'll start getting them used to you right away," said Miro. "These are good people. Just remember that what seems normal to you will be very strange to them. And watch what you say about religion. It means a lot to these people, so be respectful or, failing that, silent on the matter."
They all understood, or said they did. Lusitania was officially declared to be their home. "And keep Cubae fully equipped and at least a skeleton staff," said Thulium. "You never know when we might come home with some bug or other creature."
"Another heavy expense that won't even be a blip on the family finances," said Yuto.
They sat around in silence until Sprout finally spoke up.
"I guess we're about to start having actual lives now."
"Saving the world isn't a lifetime career," said Ender. "Just a hobby for a while."